Life is 10% what happens to us and 90% how we respond to it. The right mindset is what separates most successful people from the average person. Changing your mindset can be one of the most valuable skills you can learn to help you create your own kick-ass life. Well, we want to help you begin that process today and give you a free copy of David Wood's training, Mindset, Your Key to Success. In this downloadable training, you'll learn how to develop a winner's mindset, how to overcome limiting and negative beliefs, how to love the word no, and much, much more. To download your free training, simply go to thekickasslife.com/free. That's thekickasslife.com/FREE.
Hey, this is John Assaraf, and you're listening to David Wood on the Kick-Ass Life Show.
Want to make your life better?
This is the Kick-Ass Life Podcast with David Wood.
Top of the morning to you, and welcome to the 600-second Kick-Ass Life Show, designed to put a little smile on your face, a little spring into your step, and allow me to give you a little boot in the body, a little kick in the rump, or as I like to call it, a little kick in the arse. Before I give you the fun fact, let me introduce my co-pilot, Jen Newman. Say hello.
Well, hello.
That was really loud because I put the mic right in her face. So she probably blasted your ears right there. Do you realize in Alaska it's illegal to look at a moose when you're in a flying vehicle? Really? Illegal. Karate actually originated in India and was developed further in China, believe it or not. And if you add together all the numbers on a roulette wheel, 1 to 36, the total mystical number is 6. 666.
The devil!
It's from the devil, I tell you. I tell you that gambling's from the devil. And do you realize that Google's original name was Backrub? Do you know what Google means, by the way?
No.
It's a number. It's an infinity number. I know that. Look at that. I'm bright without these things.
Backrub.
Do you realize clownfish are transsexuals? I shouldn't talk about sex on the show. It's a family show. You know, and having blue eyes is actually a mutation. Before the mutation occurred, all humans have brown eyes.
Honey, you're a mutant.
I'm a mutant. I've got bluey-green eyes. And this is a funny one. More people are killed by donkeys than killed by plane crashes. Obviously, donkeys don't fly, though. All right, lady, are you ready? Listen, we're going to be moving the mic between us because we're actually at the lake. We escaped. This isn't just an ordinary day. This is a beautiful day. I've already been out sailing this morning and I've already been to the dump.
And I've already taught yoga.
Look at that. It's still the morning and we've done all these things, but it's just an ordinary day. Hold on, let's have a listen.
Your state of mind at the end of the day, you just got to say it's all right.
You got to say it's all right every day. I hope you're getting out of bed already. I got your wiggle on.
They say what they want, she won't stop trying. Oh, you know.
Hey, man.
She might stumble if they push her out.
Do you realize that hips are for dancing? That's why you have them, men. Start wiggling your hips.
All right.
I've still got my accent on. I don't even notice when I'm doing it. All right, over to you, Miss Newman.
Alrighty, our first question is from Jesse Godin, who we had the pleasure of meeting personally when he came to the island of Belize for our program. When was that?
I forget.
A couple months ago.
They won't be able to hear me now because you've stolen the mic. I'm in the background. Hello!
Alright, so...
Don't just... You're hitting it.
Oh.
There you go.
I'm getting told.
Beaten.
Alright, so Jesse's asking... I'm a person that loves to teach and help others. I know, however, that I get pulled into the issue of saying things like you should or do this, and I know even people asking for help don't like to be told what to do. I'm already working much more diligently on asking for permission, but I'm wondering what other tips or practices you might have for someone wanting to learn the art of asking better questions and helping other people expand their perception.
Well, hey, Jesse, it's good to see you down in Belize. I know you left a couple of days early, but for a wedding, this is a guy that's dedicated, eh? So he comes all the way down to Belize, and he can only be there for like 3.5 days. But he did get there for the community project, so that was all. He finished painting the place and left the next morning. Jesse, you know, there's a big thing here. This is, I train a lot of trainers, and I mean, I always say that, you know, when you learn to be on stage, you do it by learning to be off stage. And I think it's, you know, it can be quite common as a younger person, and you are quite young and obviously very accomplished, to want to think that you have an answer or you can change people. And you can't change people. People, you know, change themselves, but you can be a vehicle of change. You can create an environment of transformation. And one of the things I notice with a lot of trainers is the ones I'm not so fond of, in other words, when I'm listening to them, I kind of switch off a little bit, is the ones that think they have the answers. And so what I teach my trainers when they're learning to master the stage, or whether it's a small stage or a big stage or in front of, you know, tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands of people, the most important thing is to talk in the I. What I discovered, you know, what I found is when I do this is what works for me. And I love the permission. I know I talked to you about that when we were together, you know, asking permission. Would it be okay if I share something, right? So you have someone's permission, which means that, yeah, I'd love you to share something. So now they're open. People don't like being told what to do. I hate it. I don't even like that word, but I like it in that context. I don't like being told what to do. But if you said to me, hey, listen, you know, what I found for myself, how I found I get my best results is when I really focus on blah, 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 blah. Or when I really, you know, when I do this, and this was, you know, in the beginning, I used to do it this way and I really struggled. And then what I found as I sort of started to adjust the way I, you know, whatever you're doing, I know you're a personal trainer. So as I started to adjust, blah, 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 right? But as far as people's life, you know, don't try and change people. Live the example. What happens is if you want to really change someone, when you're around them, just be a great person. And one of two things, or maybe three things, will happen. You know, but the one of two things that I notice with most people, if when you're being a great person and you're showing up fully in your life, you know, people either are repelled by you and they want to run and hide, or they're drawn to you and they want to, by osmosis, they'll start to notice and they'll start to listen. And that's why, you know, birds of a feather stick together, right? People of positive energy flock together. That's why I keep saying I'm a lover of network marketing. It's because of the community of transformation that is just not there anywhere else. I mean, I could do personal growth, and I did for many years, but people go home to their toxic lives and their toxic, you know, relationships and their toxic whatever, and it's very easy to get sucked back in. But, you know, when you're in a community or culture where people really want to expand together, you know, but in that sense, you know, just becoming a great person, you're going to attract people who want to grow and change without them thinking that you are doing it. They're doing it to themselves, but you're a living example, like Gandhi says, right? Be the change you want to see in the world. But if you do want to teach someone something, do it in the first person, use an example and say, you know, what I found for myself is this. Is that something you're open to trying? As opposed to, you know, what you should do is this, you know, do this, should do this. I mean, don't shoot on people. Stop shooting all over people. Hope that answers it, Jesse. And I'm going to move the mic so there's going to be a little bit of a sound. Or do you think we should have a little music?
Oh, yeah.
Time for a little music. Great Big C this morning. A good Canadian band from the East Coast. They sound a little bit like I do when they're talking. Oh, I turned the mic off.
What he chooses, the kisses and the bruises, there ain't nothing he refuses. Then it comes along, it comes along. And I am lifted. When I'm up, I can't get down. Can't get down, can't get level. When I'm up, I can't get down. Get my feet back on the ground.
All right. Oh, I love that song. It reminds me of university.
How was your yoga class, by the
many
way?
Many years ago. My yoga class was amazing. We I actually subbed for our friend Donna because she teaches a class out here on Saturday mornings, and we do it outside with the view of the mountains and the lake. And today was so amazing because the sun came back out. It hid away yesterday. So it was amazing. It was beautiful. We had four beautiful people who showed up to share a little gratitude and move our bodies. It was great. Loved it.
Awesome.
So our next question's from Sudi, who we also know from Belize.
Wow. The Belize morning.
And Sudi was asking, David, what is your advice for people who avoid conflict?
Well, Sudi, you know, avoid conflict. I mean, what does that mean? I mean, I suppose I have to really define it because there's so many different levels. There are people, you know, when I think of that, I always think of people who, you know, there's a great saying I read the other day. It says, no one can treat you like a doormat without your own permission, right? And so many people who don't like conflict end up wearing a lot of masks and they hide behind a lot of unsaid words. And that tension within is something that is actually very damaging, I think. It's the worst kind of prison is to be out in a free world but be imprisoned by our inability to tell people, you know, what we want or how we want it, right? And remember, there's another great saying that says, you know, I teach people how to treat me. You teach people how to treat you, but I teach people how to treat me, right? And so if we're going to teach people how to treat us, then, you know, maybe we just need to change the word conflict and maybe we use the word truth. If I said to you, you never tell the truth, would you feel terrible? I think you would. I know you, Sudi. You would actually feel terrible about that because you want to be someone of character. So if the truth is someone's hurting you or someone's being mean or someone's doing something that you need to tell them about, you know, would it be a better idea to start telling the truth? Remember my 8 most favorite words, tell the truth all the time with compassion. So you have that compassionate bit. I know you. And so the question there would be, imagine then that conflict wasn't conflict. Conflict was simply truth. I'm just sharing my truth. Now, you know, much like I said to Jesse, not everyone's ready to hear your truth. But if you're with someone and you're, you know, you need to say something and it's hard for you, then in the beginning, guess what? It's going to be hard. And so it's going to be a practice. So practice with small things. Practice just speaking out. Say, hey, can I share something? You know, that when you speak like that, it really makes me feel terrible. Or can I share something? When you said that, I felt really sad. You know, you don't have to get into a conflict. A conflict means that you're going to get into some form of fight. Well, that means that you think you're right. And I always say, you know, you've got to, when you share things, you've got to be detached because not everyone's ready to hear it. Not everyone can hear it, and not everyone will do anything about what you say, but at least you've said it. And what will energetically inside you, things will shift as you start drawing lines in the sand around you to say, look, I'm not going to tolerate this. I'm not going to be around people who treat me this way. I'm not going to be around people that speak to me this way. And so, you know, I think it's really, really important that that you sort of maybe just change that word for yourself from conflict to truth, and then just ask yourself the question, do you want to walk through life never telling the truth, or is that a better way? And I think that's a good reframe, and then practice telling the truth in a small way at first until you build the muscle, knowing that it's always going to be uncomfortable until it becomes comfortable. And I don't know how many times it's going to take to do that, but at some point what's going to happen is the world around you will start to shift as you draw the lines around you of your tolerance and how people treat you. And sometimes what's going to happen is those people who are used to treating you like crap or talking down to you or whatever it is, once you stand up for yourself, they're going to find some other target because they won't want to be around someone who's suddenly telling them the truth and not allowing them to do what they do currently. Now, I'm not saying that's you, Sudi, and you're in that particular case, but many people are. Many people who don't like conflict become invisible. And women, a lot of women will know what I mean by that. They feel unseen and unheard. So start telling the truth all the time with compassion. All right. I'm not saying it's going to change the problem or change, you know, especially if it's an aggressive person around you where you really don't want to have conflict. But you need to find your voice. It's important. How was that? That was quite deep.
Wow.
No, the mic's right here. I've got to move the mic a little tiny bit. Ooh, listen to that. There you go. You can speak right into there.
All righty. Are we having a music interlude or are we going right into the next question?
Well, you know, I think we could do, you know, don't do this. Don't do this.
If you got it sus, don't beat around the bush. If you got it sus, run away. See chameleon, nightmare in the sun. All things to everyone, run away. See chameleon, nightmare in the sun. All things to everyone, run away.
Such a great band, eh?
I love it. It's my favorite dancing music. Okay, so our next question is from Carrie. And I love this. Carrie says, my hubby and I are dinks. For those of you who don't know what a dink is, it means double income, no kids. I love that. So anyway, so my hubby and I are dinks with a taste for adventure, but have ties to a crumbling home we own in an economically strapped area. We each commute separately an hour and a half each way to work, honey. An hour and a half each way. And though we make the best of it, we get drained only having 2 hours available at night before we have to get up and do it all over again. I'm taking steps in the little time available to me to work towards my dreams so we don't always have jobs that these things take time. The issue is we constantly do tango with the idea of selling and moving and even have several destinations in mind that we've visited. As I believe you make opportunities, I am not frightened by this idea of packing up everything and starting over. My husband has mixed feelings on the topic, however, and though he doesn't want to stay, he has always does not want to start over, as our cost of living here is very inexpensive and it doesn't seem likely that we can duplicate it where we want to go. We're both frugal, hardworking adults with the same values, but can't seem to decide if it's the right time to pull the trigger and leave. What would you tell two ambitious youngsters in our shoes?
Run! Run, Forrest! Run, Forrest! Run! You know, wow. First of all, thanks for the question. I like the question a lot. And I people have called me a dink before, but I didn't know it had a meaning. I thought I was just a dink.
I think they meant something else
yeah.
for you, honey.
Yeah, for me, it obviously meant something else. You know, you kind of answered your own question. Within your question is a soul searching for something more. And you're imprisoned by a depressed area slightly. And a house. And this is something about a house that you guys have got to get. I'm a big real estate investor, but I don't give a crap about making money on my house. What I care about my home to be is a sanctuary for me and my happiness. And so I never look at my house as a place where I need to make money. What I need to make in my house is dreams come true. I want to make love in my house. I want to have friends in my house. I want to cook great food in my house. But a house is just simply an extension of the heart. And the heart is calling, your heart's calling out to say, hey, you know what? There's a big world out there and I'm starting to feel it inside. And I'm using this house and this economy and everything else as an excuse. And you're an hour and a half away from work. I mean, even if you just move closer to work so that you had an extra 3 hours a day between you. And I mean, that's 3 hours. That's 6 hours a day, 3.5 hours each going there and back, right? That is unbelievable. By the way, it's very normal. I mean, people stuck in traffic listening to me right now. I mean, just don't be afraid, because what I found is this: every single time I've made a change in my life, and some of them have been dramatic, where I've been making a fortune in money and gone to nothing overnight for my own sanity and my own happiness. And, you know, when you start building that level of trust in yourself and also this detachment to material things, because that's really what you're imprisoned by this home. I mean, just sell it. I mean, I'll give you another example. A friend of mine, Antonio, his wife, Evelyn, was just diagnosed with stage 4 cancer a few days ago. So I was with Antonio the day before. And, you know, and looking at the tears welling up in his eyes as he's talking about that. And, you know, he's been working for me doing my videos for a long time. And I did a video with him about 3 or 4 years ago for one of my programs around the bucket list. And that's the first thing he said to me when he called me. He said, damn it, the bucket list, damn it. You know, because here he is right now faced with that call that I keep telling everyone about. You're going to get that call one day. Why? I mean, you may not even get it. You just may wake up in the morning but never ever go to sleep, right? Because something happens in the day. It could be an accident or whatever. But are you willing to trade those hours of your life, not knowing how many there are left? Imagine there was only a few hours left, or a few days left, or a few months left, or a few years left. What decision would you make today about your own journey? Would you go and embrace the world? Would you find a different way? Would you find a better way? And I'm happy to help you. If you want to find a vehicle that will create freedom for you, absolutely. But then imagine, though, you know, this you have no kids. All you have are these jobs and tremendous amount of time in cars. And I don't know if you sound very happy with what you're doing. I think you really, your soul is calling for something bigger. But imagine, you know, I said to you, you know, that you only had a year left, and that's what Evelyn was told. What would you do? Would you sell everything and go and fulfill those dreams? Would you write that book? And that's how I think a kick-ass life practitioner really thinks, is they live their life as if it's their last day. Imagine this was your, live it like it's your first and your last day, the first day of wonder and the last day of, you know, I want to get busy living and squeezing the juice out of it. And that is not 3 hours a day in a car. And, you know, there's lots of other jobs. And, you know, and as you grow yourself to be the person that you were born to be, it's easy to get work in anything you want. It's easy to create money and wealth. That is not hard. But most people think themselves out of it. And I can't tell you how many people have actually Facebooked me and said, oh, yeah, Dave, I'm really open to a vehicle and tell me about it. And I tell them and they're like, no, not that. You know, yeah, I've helped thousands of people, you know, with their creating wealth and happiness and success and freedom. Yeah, most people will talk themselves out of it. So don't allow your thinking to get in the way. If you lost $30,000 on that house, or $50,000 or $100,000, so what? So what? Your happiness is worth more than that. And then when you're willing to let go of things like that, then more things come in. You create a vacuum. And you show courage and you step into something greater and sexier and just life starts to open up. And before long, money is never a problem for people that live this way. Never. But to be imprisoned by a home that's kind of run down and in an area that's not very happy and then having to drive so far for work, I think is something that will eat away at your soul. And I already hear in your question that you know what you want. And the question for your husband, I'm sure hopefully he listens to this, is to trust each other and go on a great journey. I mean, it doesn't matter, even if the journey's only an hour and a half away, that you decide to just sell that place or get out of that place or rent that place and go and move closer so you have an extra 3 or 6 hours a day together where you can just be in love. I mean, that's kick-ass. You don't have to have, you know, you don't have to have it all. I mean, happiness is something that is very simple to have. But it's very, very easy to lose sight of. Wow, that was a deep question.
I think we need some music.
Woo-hoo! Oh, I got one. I got one right here. Watch this. Between wrong and right, and I feel so alive
tonight. Life
it is. Live life,
but
a great big
C. Live life. All right, our last question.
Oh, no, not the last one.
No, get out your tissues. It's sad. It's almost over. Comes from Nicole Kirchhoff. Nicole asks, I'm currently starting up my own business. Awesome. Well, I'm confident I will have success, and I'm having a lot of fun planning, making new connections, and having small daily wins. I have this lingering fear in the back of my head. I'm getting ready to have to put in the first large input of money. With no incoming money to fall back on and never having to take out a loan other than a car loan before, spending this much money is completely nerve-wracking. The loan applications are very invasive. The banks right now do not like startups and are very discouraging. I know you have to spend money to continue my dream, but how do I overcome this fear?
Well, Nicole, I actually don't believe that you need to spend a lot of money, especially if you have to borrow it. You know, I just, again, it depends on what your business is. I wish you told me what the business was so I could have an idea about cash flow. I mean, because there's a lot of myths out there that you have to, you know, oh, you start a business, you don't make money for 3 years. That is baloney. That is BS. That is the worst kind of lie that you've been, but people have been taught. But 84% of new businesses fail in the first 5 years, mainly because of the lack of skills. So what I want you to do is I want you to read a book. It's called The E-Myth. The Entrepreneurial Myth by Gerber. And I want you to really think deeply about what you're about to build, because you need, if you're going to start a business right now, a few things before I spend that money. One is, how quickly can you become free in this business? How quickly can you create systems where you have freedom within your business? And my buddy Mike and Donald, we just talked about him. I mean, here's a great example. They own a business, they're chiropractors, and they have built, they work 3 days a week. They have a young family, 8 and 6, 2 kids, and they work 3 days a week. So, you know, Monday, Mike works. Tuesday, he takes it off, right? Wednesday and Thursday, he works. And Friday, Saturday, Sunday, he's off, right? And Donna will work Monday. And, oh, no, sorry. She works Tuesday, and they both work on Thursdays together. So they've designed a life where they still love their work, but they have a lot of freedom within that work. And so what most of us don't realize is, you know, and I'll give you an example. In the Entrepreneurial Myth, they talk about the pie maker, this woman who's this great pie maker. And people are saying, oh, you know, you should start your own business and bake pies. And the truth is, she did. But then what she found out was, you know, once she started opening the doors, she had to become a marketing person. And remember, 80% of any business is marketing. You got to get in front of people and to make money, right? And so you become a marketing expert. You have to be a hire, you know, have to hire people, you know. So now you have to be good at hiring, and then you have to be good at accounting and all these things, because you normally in the beginning you said there's no money coming in. So I'm a great believer in all the businesses I do. I like building businesses without using large sums of money. I like creating cash flow early. And depending, I mean, if it's bricks and mortar, if you're buying a franchise, I don't know what you're buying. I wish you'd tell me what it was so you can get back to me on this. But, you know, if you've got a freedom strategy before you start the business, and you know within 8 months or 2 years, you're going to be free out of your business. In other words, the business will be systemized, it'll have cash flow, and that you can then, you know, have a lot more time. But if you're buying a business and you're going to be imprisoned, and it's going to take 12, 16 hours a day, which most business people do, and you'll be the last one to get paid, that's why you got to understand the entrepreneurial myth. You know, and there's, you know, there's people, I always say, what do you want from your business? And people say, freedom. I want to fire my boss. I want to call the shots. I want to be able to travel the world. I want to be at all these different things. But there are so few businesses that actually offer that. Yet people do it every single day, and they'll go and invest in a business, and they'll borrow the money, so they don't have the money up front. When, you know, why not even maybe rethink it before you start this? Maybe give me a call or Facebook me, and I'll phone you privately and I'll talk to you about it. Find out what it is and see if your plan is really, really sound to create a kick-ass life. Because a business, and a lot of you business owners out there know exactly what I mean. And again, I keep talking about it. Why I'm in love with network marketing is because I've helped so many people create complete freedom, fire their boss, have unlimited income, create cash flow right away, grow as a person, and have an international business where they can go around the world and do this. And everyone I work with who I coach in this arena, I watch them just expand every week after week after week, get better and stronger and attract more and more people and really create transformation in their own lives, their families' lives, and their kids' lives. So again, just be very, very careful. And the stats don't lie. I mean, you know, I could make it up, but it's horrendous stats on new businesses failing in their first 5 years. And if you say that for many people, their mindset is, I won't pay myself for 3 years. You know, that is a nonsense thing, right? It's better, you know, you look at how do I create cash flow immediately? And how do I create freedom with that cash flow? That's a better set of questions. And, you know, it doesn't matter what you're trained for. A lot of people, well, I'm trained in this. So what? Don't make that your prison. Don't make anything your prison. Don't make a home a prison. Don't make a business a prison. And don't make an education a prison. And don't make, you know, a qualification a prison. There's a lot of people that are qualified in one area that find their passion and live something completely different. Like the girl sitting right next to me, who is qualified twice in RMT, registered massage therapist. She comes back from Australia. She busts her buns and has to resit the whole exam again, which is massive. And I was there. This is when we first started dating, right? And now she's given it all up and created a life of freedom and now travels around the world with me, building her own business and has this sense of freedom. Why? Because now she has a different way of thinking. Whereas before, she was spending 8 hours a day in a little tiny room. And, you know, it's hard to massage people, feeling great about helping the people, but ultimately, now you have a great sense of helping thousands of, if not even hundreds of thousands, right? I'm talking for you. Let me push the mic back.
No, that's exactly right. And I have a bigger reach now of people that I can help more than I ever did as an RMT. And I thought that I was helping people then, but now I'm helping more than I ever could in 8 hours in a massage therapy clinic. So, yeah, but it was scary to walk away from it. And especially when, you know, I've had the education and I'd invested the money and I'd invested a lot of time and money into that profession, and it was easy to stay there because it felt safe and it was what I knew. And so it was easy to go back to it because I knew what the results were going to be. But now that I, you know, took the courage to step away and try something new, I'll never look back. I'm so excited about where things are going now, and I have more freedom than I've ever had. And I've definitely love what I do.
Well, the other thing is, because we're using Jen as the example right now. She was locked in mentally. Well, her prison wasn't her job. Her prison was how she thought about it, because she thought that because she was qualified this way, there was only one thing she could do is go down. And she worked for Mike Adana, you know, and go into this clinic every day and lock herself in a little room massage. Great, great profession, but limited. She could only make so much money every single day. And then her body starts to hurt. She comes home. She needs a massage when she gets home because she's exhausted, right? And there's a better way. There is a better way to create a kick-ass life. And we've just got to know what those rules are. So the entrepreneurial myth for all you business people, all right, if you're going to build a business, how soon will you be free? How soon will you be free where you can do and choose the life you want? And it needs to be quick, not like 10 minutes, right? But it needs to be like, you know, in the first 12 months to 24 months, the systems have to be in immediately. Start off with a systematic mindset where, I mean, I have a lot of friends who have done that, who have businesses where they can travel. You know, Chris Ducker, I just did the call with Chris last week, right, who lives in the Philippines. But look how many days off he has. You know, he doesn't work on Fridays. He doesn't work on Mondays, right? So he works 3 days a week again because he systemizes his business to be able to run without him. So it's awesome. I want to play a quick song because I'm really babbling here. Here we go.
Before the unlimited and full shall be my glass. I am ready, I am willing, and I'm able for the task. I was born to believe. I was born to believe. We are one, we are strong. We can sing a different song. Let the right shine.
Miss Jen Newman, your timekeeping is a little sloppy
time
today.
Time to go.
Is it time to go?
Time to go sail the boat.
I'm going to take you out sailing right now. I was out sailing this morning. Yesterday was a great day. You know, we had friends who wanted to come over. And I said, nah, you know what? Can we just have some time? Mike and Donna's away, so we had the lake to ourselves. We share a property here. We have about 6 acres on the water. And I said, I just want to hang out with the kids. So we sailed together. I took Calvin sailing. I took Ben and his buddy Kevin sailing. And then we went out in the boat. We went wake surfing. We went tubing. It was just this great, great day. And then we sat and played cards. And then like midnight, we put a movie on. And the kids sat up and watched the whole thing. And we were like passed out like crazy. So we were like... Right. Anyway, lady.
You were.
Oh, thanks a lot. Well, you better look. It's 31 minutes. What's going on over there?
Get out there and live your Saturday, everyone. We'll see you on the other side.
That was kick-ass.